It's always a great surprise to me, especially in the second week of Easter, when we proclaim this gospel from John, that Jesus' first appearance to those disciples brings a message of peace. Now, I'm sure you're saying to me, well, why should that be strange? Why should that be a shock to you? Because it really goes against some of our human nature. Here are individuals who pledge their allegiance to the Lord, who said that they would be faithful even unto his death, and they abandoned him. They left him. The only one who was there from the apostles was the young one, John, at the foot of the cross. Everyone else had scattered. Everyone retreated from the moment of his suffering, from his own personal indignation that was placed upon him by the Romans, by the crowds. And here he comes in to their midst and offers them peace. We can see that human nature would not have done that. We see this earlier when the apostles and Jesus are passing through a Samaritan town and they refuse to recognize Jesus. And what do the apostles say? Rain down heaven. Strike them all dead. Let us call curses upon them. And Jesus says no. And refuses to do that and react in that manner. Here we find the apostles locked in a room, frightened for the sense of their own persecution now as individuals associated with Jesus. And Jesus comes and brings a message of peace. And he shares with them in an interesting way. He offers them the aspect he breathes upon them and says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. That breath is very symbolic. It's obviously symbolic of life, where God breathes upon the waters in Genesis and the new creation. Now Jesus is breathing upon his apostles. And breath is such an important thing for all of us, especially when we lack it. In my own life, I remember in a particular way, when I was a little boy, my mother had suffered from sciatica, from extreme pain in the back. And my uncle, who was a police officer, was present. And my mother kind of got up. She was kind of resting on her side. And she got up suddenly, and a shock came through her system. And she passed out, and she was not breathing. My uncle immediately went to her side and came over and breathed into her. And literally restored her life with that breath. And the ambulance came and took her to the hospital. I mention that because that in itself is a sign. But I can tell you that there was approximately 15 years later when my uncle, who was then married and had a new son. And the new son was about a year and a half old. And he stood outside of his little crib and tumbled over and hit the ground, and he wasn't breathing. And my aunt, his wife, was there in shock. My mother immediately went over to him, picked him up and breathed into him, and restored his life. We see then that dramatic sense how literally breathing restores life, especially when we're lacking life. And here we see what Jesus is doing to his apostles. He's breathing into them the new life of the resurrected Lord. He's breathing into them his power. And he's saying, receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained. What he's saying immediately is these people, individuals you have come in contact, are dead by sin in relationship to the Lord. And you will bring them new life. You will bring them my life. You will breathe into them the great sacrament of reconciliation as we know it in the church. And you'll give new life to individuals who were lost before God. Bring new life into them. This is Divine Mercy Sunday, as we know, declared so by John Paul II. Through the readings and the inspiration of St. Faustina. an individual who all she did is hold up the great mercy of God. You know, the great mercy of God. Now, we kind of think about that. You know, to extend God's mercy and to understand God's mercy knows that there is no limits to his love. And it helps us, really, after the resurrected Jesus, to understand the power of that resurrection. That God's love is not going to be prevented or prohibited to us by anything. Neither death nor sin will stop us from the love of God because of Jesus. Because Jesus offers his life to us as sacrifice, as redemption for us, and then his life given to us as a new life that we live. In the waters of baptism, we died to ourselves so that we might rise anew with him, so that we might reflect that Jesus in our lives. This day, in a particular way, we take a look at our need to be reconciled to the Lord, to embrace his love and to his mercy, and to give thanks and praise for that. We see the wonderful figure of Thomas in today's gospel also, and we cannot forget Thomas because it's such kind of a central aspect of this gospel. Because Thomas represents all those who are skeptical about Jesus and the resurrection, about the power of God's presence in our lives. Thomas is skeptical. He's not a bad person. Thomas, in fact, is a very good person, even courageous. He doesn't want the apostles to get caught up in any type of hysteria. He doesn't want them to be caught up. He wants them to get on with their lives, to do the other things, but to understand to put this Jesus off to the side. And then he challenges. He says, in the material way, if I put my fingers into the nail prints in his hands, if I put my fingers into his side, then I'll believe. Second appearance of Jesus offers that opportunity for Thomas. There are many people who, in today's world, say the same thing. I'll believe if. And the beauty of that aspect is there are many ifs that are presented to people. The continued martyrdom of those who profess to the Lord Jesus Christ, even to this very day. One thing that could not be denied by the apostles is once they encountered that resurrected Lord, when that Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, they went out into the world and they started to proclaim the Lord Jesus. You know that of the apostles, every apostle died a martyr's death except John. Why do you die for a lie? It's easy just to confess and to turn yourself over and say, no, I don't believe. But they couldn't deny the truth. And to this very day, believers cannot deny the truth. And the truth is, life comes from the Lord, and our forgiveness makes us whole before God, and it's his mercy and love that conquers all obstacles in this world and offers us a life to come. As we celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday, we understand what a gracious gift his love has been in our life. And understand, no matter what sufferings or obstacles come in our life, it cannot separate us from the love and the life that is given to us in the person of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.